The Novos When You Wake Up.
Live across Newcastle and the Hunter.
All live, all local, 100% Newcastle.
Here we are, back for your Monday.
Hello.
How are you, Ari?
I'm feeling rejuvenated, actually, after this weekend.
You needed, the rest was well needed
rested.
And needed.
Rest was well rested. I didn't have too much of a rest, actually.
But you just got the right sleep and stuff, and also yeah. Daylight savings.
Yeah, that threw me off yesterday morning. Hey, I woke up like, oh, yeah, it's this time, that feels normal. I got in my car, and because my car is a little bit older, it doesn't yeah. automatically reset the time back to where
That's
the clocks
right.
were meant to be.
Me too.
And I was like, wait, it's not 10 o'clock? What? And then I freaked out. I'm like, no, you just forgot to
Take
change
it
your
easy.
Clocks. It's okay.
Now, here's the question.
Yes.
Have you now changed your car clock?
Okay, here's something that I do.
Yep.
I never change the car clocks forward or back for daylight savings because, one, I don't know how to do it in my car, and two, I just take it, shave an hour off or shave an hour forward.
Yep, I'm the same.
Yeah, I just look at my phone if I need to know. I just take it. I'm like, oh, shoot,
I'll
okay.
I've never changed a car clock in my life.
No, me neither. I don't know. The club.
I don't actually if you can do it.
Yeah, yes, you can. My brother's done it plenty of times.
No way.
Yeah, my
I
brother
don't know
has.
Anyone that's done it.
Well, you just haven't met my brother then, have you?
All car clocks, I thought, well, were stuck at one time.
Interesting, though, my yeah. mum can change the clocks on the microwave and the oven.
Really?
But she can't do the cars. And it's like the other way around. My brother can only change the cars and not do the microwave and the oven. So
well,
there you go. It's
what
the best made in heaven of a family.
I was going to say, what a great symbiotic relationship between those two.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, my brother's coming up tonight, so I might have to get him to change my car.
Yeah.
Oh, no, because then I have to change it back. No,
you get you get 6 months, Ari.
No, it's fine. I'll just freak out when I'm driving to work and it says 5:30. And I'm like, oh, no, the show started. And it's really 4:30. It's
oh,
fine.
That's a fun 6 months for you.
I live life on the edge, Mark Crevo. Come
well,
on.
Well, that's one thing I do know about you, is you love to have a bit of panic in your life.
How was your weekend, just quickly?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Okay.
I went to the farm and stuff, which was lovely on Ooh. Saturday.
Did
and
you
then,
feed some sheep?
They don't have sheep there.
Goats?
No goats.
Chickens?
Chickens they've got, yeah.
Did you feed the chickens?
No, they're fed.
Oh.
Morning. That's a morning thing. I got there at lunchtime.
Oh, you're skimping out on all the jobs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's lazy.
Yeah, it was good, though. there was a big sort of party there. It was lovely.
Oh?
Yeah.
Did you get your groove on?
Yeah, a bit. And we had lovely food. Oh, my God. It was sort of like a potluck situation. And
Love
so,
that.
Yeah, so many people bought great food, so
Ooh.
We enjoyed.
Mega Creatures and Mega Creatures Night Safari at Hunter Valley Gardens, April 5 to May 4. Book your tickets now at huntervalleygardens.com.au. 105.3 UFM's Roar or Snore.
Yeah, that's right. We're back for yet another day, giving people the chance to win a family pass to go see Mega Creatures at Hunter Valley Gardens. This is for the regular day Mega Creatures or the Mega Creatures Night Safari.
Jeez,
this is very exciting.
It's so hard to pick.
I know. The inspiring experience where you get to see some mythical beasts, fantastical, much-loved prehistoric creatures, and also some spine-chilling giant insects. These are all massive, massive figures that move their heads and roar and make weird noises, all that. And it started 2 days ago, so we're right at the start of the event.
Yeah, you want to go and see this.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be listening throughout the show for your chance to win. So,
have you ever been to an event like this before?
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Oh, I've never been. I've always wanted to go.
I love
T-Rexes.
I think we should be able to hook that up if you want to go.
There's a giant animatronic slug, and usually I'm not an insect person, but for this case I'll make an exception.
Yeah, you're attracted to the slug, is it?
Yeah, the slug and the raptors.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
you
I'm
like
not about the spiders.
Like. You don't
spiders
like spiders.
Man, I don't like their legs, man.
Well, they're just too hairy, or?
Yeah, that's why I shave my legs.
Me too.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5.
All right, Ari. Now, we're doing the first at five this morning, and I believe there was a pretty terrible crash that happened.
Yeah, unfortunately. About mid-morning yesterday, a man aged in his 40s has sadly died at the scene after a bit of a horror crash. So apparently there were three motorbikes involved in this incident out at Great North Road in Wollumbi. Hunter Valley Police arrived at the scene to find that the three motorcycles had actually collided.
Oh, God.
Yeah, treat at the scene, like I said, the man in his 40s died. The two other riders, though, they were aged in their 30s, two men, were treated for leg and chest injuries before then being shipped to the John Hunter Hospital in stable conditions, however. Investigations are ongoing, but it is believed that the two other riders are okay. They've got to make a good recovery.
Still not a good story overall, is it?
I mean, yeah, like mid-morning too, just after 10 a.m, that's an interesting time. Maybe they're all just out for a leisurely ride and they just collided with each other.
So... Well, I grew up on in Yarramalong, which is the other side of the mountains there at Wollumbi kind of thing.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you keep going, you can sort of get from one to the other just via the mountain road.
Right.
And there's so many weekend riders out on their motorbikes through that area because it's just so scenic. They go from there through. You can keep going through to Sydney or maybe they're going the other way. So whilst it is tragic, it's not surprising there's so many riders out. Well, on a weekend.
Honestly, motorbike riders are just as dangerous as bad drivers in cars, let's be honest.
Totally.
Like, everyone can misuse the road.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what happened there.
I was
going to
say, we don't know the scenario at all.
But it would, you know, these things don't really surprise me anymore, I guess to say.
Awful story, though, for sure.
Definitely. Okay, moving straight along, though, not so great news either for our sporting teams. Our Newcastle Knights and our Jets, they both suffered losses over the weekend, which is disappointing. But the Knights got battered the most.
Oh, no.
A 20-0 loss to the Canterbury Bulldogs, which is ridiculous. You got to feel good for the Doggies, though, because they're enjoying the best start to an NRL campaign in more than 30 years. So,
and whilst you say that, I don't feel good for them. I feel bad for the Knights.
I know that. But, you know, you've got to be fair.
It's almost as if you're against Newcastle here.
That is a wild claim. And I will dispute that in the court of law.
Okay.
And New Orleans court of law. So that's not good for our Knights. And also our Newcastle Jets. Their playoff hopes took a massive hit at Mac Jones yesterday evening. Sadly, a 2-1 loss to Wellington Phoenix.
Okay, technically, are there still hopes? Getting to the playoffs.
Let's be honest,
like from a technical perspective, not just your feeling, is it possible? You're unsure. That's all right. We'll do the math behind the scenes.
Well, they're too far into the season now to be able to turn things around.
What if they had like a, oh my God, miracle situation?
I reckon there'd have to be a lot of losses at the top end of the table for that to happen, in my opinion.
All right.
But also, it comes after a very turbulent week for the Jets as well, with the revelation of coach Rob Stanton actually not to lead the team at the end of the season and coming into the next couple of seasons. So he's been, well, they say he's stepped down.
No doubt there'd be a lot of conversations going on, a lot of gossip, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, who's going to take the team? We don't know.
Great question.
UFM. The Novos.
And the election is here, so of course we'll cover the occasional political story.
Funny.
That's pretty much it. We're not heavy on that on this show.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great traditions that come with Australian elections. Democracy sausages.
Oh, it's all about the sausage. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Kissing babies while wearing in a Cooper hat, which seems to always happen at some point.
Bob Catter.
Eggs and essentially salt of the earth tradies in campaign ads. You know the type.
Tradies?
Yeah, it's often we're building our future.
There's a lot of local MPs doing that around Port Stephens and stuff now.
Yes, all over the country.
Yeah.
It's like a way of indicating that they're developing the country or they plan to have developing happening, right?
And fight locally on like the local level for you and your family and all this type of bullwinkle.
All sorts of that.
Yeah.
The tradition continues down in Victoria where a young man in an orange high-vis vest, complete with hard hat he's holding at his side, makes an appearance in a campaign video for former Liberal MP Tim Wilson.
Uh-oh.
He also appears to be part of Wilson's campaign to regain the seat of Goldstein. So what I mean by that is he's in the ad as this tradie who's talking to Tim Wilson. Yeah. And they're talking about fighting for home ownership. So indicating that he's like a tradie on a construction site. In fact, he's filmed outside a construction site. Digging a little deeper, though, it appears that he is, in fact, one of the workers or volunteers on his campaign. So there's talk that he's a fake tradie. That actually just works for the campaign and looks like a tradie and has ended up doing this. Now, there's nothing, I guess, inherently illegal about that or anything, but it just doesn't look great when there's so many tradies in your area. Pay one of them to be in your ads if you must.
Yeah, why does it have to be someone in your own little office?
Exactly. Just doesn't feel quite right, is all I'll say. It doesn't pass the pub test.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
So on the weekend, on Saturday night, myself and my boyfriend, we were just hanging out and we were like, you know what, let's just play a game. What do you want to play?
Ooh.
So we ended up playing a bit of Mario Kart on the Nintendo Switch on the big TV screen.
Not on the big TV.
On the big TV.
Instead of like the little Game
Screens,
Boy looking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I haven't played that for a while. But the thing about Mario Kart, right, I don't know if anyone else experiences this, especially when they're playing with their partner. But the amount of pushing and shoving you're doing on the couch to each other to throw each other off your game and then the yelling that happens, like an arguments between you. Oh, my gosh. Like halfway through the game, we'll be like, oh, what did you do that for? And then I'll turn around and be like, I love you. And he's like, I love you too, babe. I'm sorry. Like, it's
wow.
Yeah.
So you two are quite competitive
people.
We
are very competitive, yes.
Really?
But it works for us because we both turn around and be like, good job, babe. And I beat him in one race. Yeah. No, I didn't beat him. I came second in one race, so I nearly got him.
So you didn't beat him. You came last.
Well, no, because there was other people behind us. So like, it was
like
a whole field of people.
You had a lot of people in the house, was
no,
it,
no,
playing?
No, it was online or something like that.
So you
like
beat some easy computer people.
Yes. Anyway, and I don't usually. And I came second, and I'm like, oh, I came second. And he's like, yeah, good job, babe. And that gives me a
high
five.
Win?
I'm like, yeah, good supporting, hey?
So he beat you?
He wins every time. Yeah.
How does that feel overall?
Well, every time that he beats me, every time he beats me at a game, I just have to turn around and remind him who's the better dancer, who's done this, who's got this.
So you still need to win deep down.
Yes. And I always remind him that I'm just like, I'm better at this though, don't you forget it. And he's like, yeah, I'll never forget it. I'm like, that's right. So he puts me in my place and I put him in his. Healthy relationship, isn't it?
Sounds like it. Jeez.
Oh, we love it.
Yep,
it's great.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, if you want to start World War III, play Mario Kart.
You know what? I wouldn't put it past it.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
And if you know the name Bob Catter, well, stay tuned because he's launched something a little bit juicy.
There we go. Now we learn about the world of dark mofo. If you've never heard of what this is...
It sounds weird.
Yeah, look, and honestly it is. So there's this eccentric, I don't know if he's a billionaire, but a very rich man down in Tasmania. He made his money through, like, certain loopholes in online gambling in the past.
Jeez, well, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, and... Look, it's up for debate as to whether he should have paid taxes on certain things, but because, like, gambling winnings are not technically normal income...
It's a little bit of a grey area.
It's a grey area. What he's done with the money, though, is extraordinary. He's built this museum in Tasmania that he lives in as well.
Ooh.
It's, like, accessible... It's sort of surrounded on three sides by water.
Okay.
And it's sort of half built into this mountain.
What?
And it's got a winery on top of it, on the roof. And it's
interesting.
It's a very interesting thing. It's a museum of new and old art. It's MONA, I think it's what it's called.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that before.
Yeah, and it's an extraordinary place. I actually went there when I visited Tasmania.
Oh.
And it's an amazing museum. There's all sorts of weird and unusual exhibits. But every year they have this thing called Dark Mofo, which is basically like a... how would you just, like a festival at the museum and in and around it. And they've got some weird things that are a part of it. Here, for example, you can go for a nude swim solstice, which is pretty much explained in the title.
Yeah, get your dacks off.
Everyone gets a red swimming cap. And then the art commences. Let's just say that.
I don't know what to say to that, to be honest.
Yep. Then they have Screams from the Abyss, which is a heavy metal band, which, as you can imagine, has a lot of
screaming,
head banging and that sort of stuff.
For a second there, I thought, like, the people that get to go to the museum, like, sit at the top of the cliff and scream. Like, well, scream into the abyss. That's what I thought you meant.
Something along those lines. Then they have coffin rides this year, which is where you can get into a coffin. It's closed up and away you go.
No.
For the ride of a lifetime.
No. How are you going to breathe? What if it doesn't open? You're stuck.
There's many questions to be asked.
You need a chainsaw to get out of that thing.
Well, that's it.
Oh, my God.
And
no, thank you.
On and on it goes. The character ride. Imagine a collision between the automated, like, ride on bulls that you see and high art. So it's like, it's sort of like you're in this nightclub, but you're also riding a bull that looks a bit like a giant sausage. The whole thing is bizarre, and you're in a like a modern art museum and drinking wine that's made on the premises. The whole thing is very strange.
You know what? This sounds like a bit of me. I would like to go and do this.
Honestly, it's so bizarre, Ari.
It fits my personality.
It does. Yeah. You should go check it out because it's honestly one of the weirdest events/places on the planet.
Oh, I'll send my sister-in-law when she goes to Tassie. She's a bit weird.
Yeah, it might suit her.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
Oh my gosh, in breaking entertainment news, so you know how Married at First Sight, the TV show, the season's just wrapped up, they had like their final get-together or whatever. Well, two contestants, or participants, I should say, from that show this season, they got together outside of the experiment after the show wrapped because they didn't, you know, end up staying with their partners on the show.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about Clint Rice and Jackie Burfoot. Now, we've talked about these two quite a bit in maths. Well,
they're not very memorable to me, the characters.
Jackie's the one that kept crying and kicking up a little stinker.
That's right, yeah.
Clint Rice is the former pro golfer.
That's it.
Yeah, anyway, so they're together. Well, apparently at a nightclub in Sydney the other night, I think it's like last night or something, they just got engaged, like really engaged.
I told you this show was about true love.
Oh, my God, it's
nobody
ridiculous.
Wants to believe me.
The exclusive party to celebrate the final episode of the series was thrown by a journalist, blah, 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 who runs an entertainment outlet. Anyway, so there's footage of them. Clint gets down on his knee, holds out the ring, and she freaks out. She's like jumping up and down. She's sitting down. She's getting up. She's sitting down. She's getting up. It's like she's like a bouncy bean. It's $30,000 ring, by the way.
They wouldn't have known each other that long total, though.
No, probably about a couple months, maybe 6 months. I'm not sure. Just
like
a couple months.
Okay, the possibility that they met at the very start of filming of the show.
They didn't,
is there.
Though. No,
yeah, but you don't know. Like they just. Mm. They're waiting outside, having a break between filming, you know, two ceremonies. Yeah. Or, hey, what's your name?
But he came in later on in the show.
My name's Clint Rice.
Terrible name.
I couldn't agree more.
She's quoted here saying, I had no idea. We've talked about marriage, but I thought it wouldn't happen until I turn 30. My 30th birthday is on Tuesday. This is what I wanted. Oh, my God. I love the ring. It's literally heavy.
God. They are just, it's just such a certain quality of person that comes out of this show, isn't it?
I just think it's hilarious. That's
it's
why.
It's literally heavy. Well, everything is comparatively. You know.
I just think that this is just craziness.
The seed out of a cherry is also heavy if you compare it to a single strand of human hair.
I think. Yeah, true. I think Clint Rice has done All Women Everywhere, or All Partners Everywhere, a bit of disservice here.
Why is that?
Because he's proposed so soon. What about these other women and men around the country that are waiting to be proposed to? He's done it after a couple of months.
An idiot. That won't last. I'm calling it early.
Oh, you never know. True love is a foot.
That is true.
Sometimes. True love is a Burfoot, Jackie's last name. Burfoot.
Nah.
Trademark that.
Okay. I don't think you'll have much dispute over it. No one's chasing you for the TV rights.
Hey, they could.
That's true.
New FM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
How about this, though? If we now go to the depths of the Antarctic Sea.
Under the sea.
Well, da-da-da-da. It certainly is, because there's a what they call a calving iceberg, which is where a big iceberg breaks off one that was always just in position, which means that these areas underneath have never been seen by human eyes until now, and they're revealing a vibrant, thriving ecosystem full of weird and amazing and huge creatures.
I love it. So this is all on the floor, right? The ocean floor.
The ocean floor.
Would it be
underneath.
Colder or warmer down on the ocean floor?
It's warmer than inside the ice, because otherwise it would be frozen.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's still very cold.
Well, closer to the core, Earth's core, I guess. Science?
Not close enough for any warmth from the Earth's core. Okay. A long, long way off for that.
I see.
Yeah. But it's very cold but not freezing is
Got
where
it.
We get to.
Yeah.
So there's some strange things that are down there, including, how about this, they're called a Hoff crab.
Ooh.
Which is this species of, it's named after David Hasselhoff because it's normally a hairy crab, but the chest part has no hair on it. Right? This creature lives down at these, like, very, very deep down, up to 2.5 kilometres down.
Damn.
And they're some of the most, like, the creatures that can live some of the deepest anywhere on the planet. They've also got something called ice fish. Which are a totally see-through fish.
Ah.
So instead of red blood cells, they have proteins attached to ice crystals in the fish's body and work as an antifreeze, enabling it to live in freezing water.
Okay, that is cool.
Isn't that amazing?
What a piece of anatomy that
is. Yeah, I know. And then they've got all these things called sea spiders, which...
Sea spiders? I'm Googling these, actually, as we speak.
Antarctica's... They can be huge because there's really high oxygen in the water down there. So these sea spiders, they actually breathe through holes in their body, which allows more oxygen to be absorbed into their body, and they get huge, absolutely huge.
Oh, that's why they grow so big. Right.
Yeah. So, for example, in Europe, they have sea spiders, but they might be the size of, like, your little fingernail.
Oh.
In Antarctica, they're the size of your dinner plate.
Ah! Oh, no, thank you. Can you imagine that coming for your face?
Certainly not. They've also got these huge sea slugs, which look like a giant sort of flubber. From the movie Flubber. They're about the size of a dinner plate as well. It's filled with animals you've just never seen or imagined, and they're right there, just underneath the ocean's ice.
Okay, on reflection of this story, yes. I've compared the Hoff's crab and the sea spiders. I think I would prefer to actually go and catch a Hoff's crab and rip that thing apart because she is thick, those type of crabs. That'd be nice with a little bit of tartar.
A little butter sauce and away you
butter.
Go, you reckon?
Oh, give me the butter.
New FM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
Now, you would have heard over the weekend maybe that the stock market's in freefall. There's a lot of crashing. Here's a top tip.
Yeah.
Don't look at your super balance. You'll be very upset.
Is that for everyone?
That's pretty much for everyone.
Oh, okay, good tip.
Yeah, there's a top. Unless you're accessing it tomorrow, just don't even look at it for
okay.
now.
Sure.
It won't be a good week. Now, obviously, with that happening, people have been talking about what's going on. It's a trade war that's happening, started by Trump with all these tariffs and stuff.
Of course it is.
And what I didn't expect, though, for this year was for Canada to stand up and try and take a leading role in the world.
How so? They're usually quite a peaceful country. You never really hear anything about them.
Exactly. They're usually just happy hanging out, doing their own thing.
Fair enough. Doing their own maple trees.
Yeah, having a bit of maple syrup, enjoying some hockey and, you know,
got moose as pets in their backyard, I'm sure.
All of that sort of stuff that goes on. there's been a change of leadership this year. Justin Trudeau was the old Prime Minister. He stepped down. Mm. And then Mark Carney has stepped up. He's an economist, political newcomer, sworn in as the new Prime Minister.
Good on him.
Just getting ready for the next election. Mm. So the party has changed Prime Ministers getting ready for the election.
Mm-hmm.
With Trump basically blowing up all of the existing trade relationships that were out there, Mark Carney's made this speech where, if you have a listen, he's suggesting that everyone that has had their relationship, you know, all these other countries that have had their relationship with America destroyed by these tariffs.
Which is a lot of countries.
A lot of countries, most of them.
Yeah.
Hey, come over to your new friends Canada and we'll take over for you. Have a listen to this.
Yesterday's actions by the U.S. administration, while not specifically targeting Canada, will rupture the global economy and adversely affect global economic growth. Our old relationship of steadily deepening integration with the United States is over. Canada is ready to take a leadership role in building a coalition of like-minded countries who share our values. And if the United States no longer wants to lead, Canada will.
That is a big statement, mate.
In 2025,
yeah.
I did not predict Canada taking over as pseudo-world leader from America.
I haven't predicted any of this stuff to happen, to be fair, in politics.
If you told me, oh, China's going to take the lead or, you know,
fair.
The European Union or something like that, I would have gone, oh, yeah, that could happen. But Canada, I didn't see it coming, guys.
Oh, they're the older brother that we didn't know we needed.
Exactly.
105.3 New FM.
It's the Novos. Name five.
Okay, jumping into our game for your Monday morning, the Novos name five. You've got 10 seconds on the clock to name five things related to the category that we give you. We've given an example, Crevo. You nearly got brands of confectionery.
Didn't quite make it.
That's all right, though, because you're not up for the prize.
Yeah, not really bothered by the outcome, to be honest. I do want to win because I'm a natural-born winner.
Oh, dear God, here we go.
But if I don't, well, there's no consequence. So the prize today is fantastic. Dot and the Kangaroo Junior. Mm-hmm. This is this awesome play that's happening. It's worth nearly $200.
Yeah.
Great for the school holidays. You want to go and see this thing. It's at the Civic Theatre, which is awesome. Yeah, the playhouse, the upstairs bit, the better bit. So let's meet our contestant vying for this prize today in Rankin Park. Good morning, Emily. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm good.
That's the way.
You sound focused already, Emily.
Yeah, I know. You've had your coffee, haven't you?
I've had a cup of tea.
Yeah, same thing.
Close enough. That'll
exactly.
do.
Exactly. More caffeine per weight in tea than coffee. Do you know that?
No.
No.
Yeah. So if you get a kilo of tea and a kilo of coffee, it's more caffeine in the tea.
Oh, you're learning something here this morning, Emily. I bet you didn't have that in your wheelhouse
Don't
for
worry,
today.
it's nothing to do with the game.
No.
You just need to name five things from the category. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Emily, I need you to name five characters from Toy Story. Go.
Oh, Buzz, Woody, Andy, Bo Peep, Ken.
Oh, well, that was
Done.
So easy.
So
Congratulations.
Easy.
You've only gone and won it. You're off to Dot and the Kangaroo Junior.
Thank you.
You're Pleasure. Very welcome. See how easy that was? If you heard that and went, geez, I was that quick or even quicker.
I'll give you a hint. I do make them easier sometimes on a Monday, but also sometimes on a Wednesday. But I'm not going to tell you when I interchange those.
Oh, you're such a mysterious person,
I know.
If you're wanting to play, same time, same place tomorrow here at New FM. Emily from Rankin Park, our latest local winner.
New FM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
Just Friday, so just the Friday past,
mm-hmm.
on Newcastle Reddit, somebody put up this post. This is just for our local community.
Mm-hmm.
Men's shed for women. And then the comments under, she said, or I'm guessing it's a she, where can a girl go to learn wood, metalworking and blokey type hobbies?
Hobbies and obviously practical life skills.
Yeah. And there's not really one around, it turns out.
Honestly, I can't say that I've ever heard of anything like this. Like, yeah, it makes sense as to why... you know, someone would be asking this question.
Well, exactly. And about 50-something comments of people asking similar questions, saying, how good would this be? It would be fantastic to get one open.
Yep.
There's a few comments around, like, the men's shed in Hamilton is open to everyone, which is great.
Of course.
But I do feel as if it would be a great initiative.
Yeah,
I mean, some people want to learn these different skills. And I also, there were some suggestions, oh, maybe you could just open the men's shed to all people, which some of them are, but I don't think that's the answer either.
No.
Because I think some of them are set up so that men can have their own space to talk about their own things and problems, and that's fine too,
amongst
right?
other men, and absolutely that's okay.
And I think that's a big part of it for a lot of the guys that do this.
To be fair, there is a lot of, like, you know, women's groups around, but nothing that, well, that I know of that's specifically targeted to learning those other tradesman like tradesperson skills.
And maybe you don't want to be a tradie.
No, it's not
about
that.
But you just want to be able to, I don't know, build your own bookcase or repair, fix your kitchen, or I don't know, just something you want to do at home.
That's right, being self-sufficient. My dad always raised me. Now, being his only daughter, he's like, look, Ari, I want to make sure that I've helped set you up so that you don't have to rely on a man to do things for you. You fix your own stuff, you build your own stuff, whatever. And that's pretty much what they're talking about here, right?
And the other good thing about the men's sheds that's out there, they sort of act as a tool library, because all tools, or a lot of tools, can be very expensive. So you can go, you don't have to buy a tool just for one project.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be very appreciated in the community if there was a version for women.
I think you might be surprised at how many people, like women per se, would actually sign up to do this. I definitely would.
It's interesting you say that. Apparently somebody has put up a comment over the weekend saying, we tried to get one up and running at Raymond Terrace.
Okay.
It was difficult to organise without a space and set up. There was a huge interest. They just couldn't get the space. The local men's shed doesn't allow females, which is fair, as I think they deserve their own space.
Yeah.
But women really need a similar thing.
I agree.
The local Bunnings offered to have their first, like, meeting there to get things up and running, but, you know, life got in the way a bit and they weren't able to find that space.
Yeah, of course.
I feel as if Newcastle could use with this, and, you know, out at the terrace, if, or everywhere, really.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you're from.
It feels like a gap that is something that could be really useful to our community. A lot of people could learn a lot of skills and make great use of a new community. If anyone wants to get this going, I just think it would be an awesome thing for Newcastle to have, and an asset to, well, all women of the region.
Yeah, let's do it.
Mega Creatures and Mega Creatures Night Safari at Hunter Valley Gardens, April 5 to May 4. Book your tickets now at huntervalleygardens.com.au. 105.3 UFM's Roar or Snore.
Oh, if you want to go see some absolute amazing structures of mega creatures, you want to see some mythical beasts, maybe some prehistoric creatures like dinosaurs of all kinds and also giant insects, Mega Creatures has got you sorted. This is on at the Hunter Valley Gardens. You can go through the day or go on their night safari with all it lit up and everything like that.
It's extraordinary.
UFM.
The Novos.
Last week, Ari, sometimes, very occasionally, you have a snack in the studio.
Yes.
Usually, if you do, it's like a
crunchy.
Something crunchy.
Mm.
And then sometimes, very occasionally again, you'll bring in something to dip it in.
Yeah, sometimes I like a bit of a little aioli.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a little creamy dip, like sweet chili Philly or a tzatziki or something.
That's a great example of some of the dips that you bring in.
Yeah.
And it got us talking about dips behind the scenes.
Because you and I both are like foodies. We love to talk about food. Yeah.
And I said, hey, what about those dips that have, like, the pine nuts broken up or the macadamia broken up in them, that have the pesto in and around it? Such a lovely texture to add to your crunchy chip, cracker, whatever.
I know what you're talking about. It's kind of like a black swan.
The look on Ari's face was as if I had brought up something that should be banned forever.
Look, the ones that you're thinking of are the Black Swan dips.
Yes, or a Red Rock Deli.
Oh, yeah, one of those. They're like the really specialty small ones you get from the supermarket.
The tub is a weird shape.
Yeah.
They've gotten rid of the round tub and they've gone for a sort of two flat sides and two round sides part.
A little bit of a hexagon shape.
I think they're trying to save some money by giving you less dip.
Yeah,
let's face
obviously.
It. But it's such a premium style of dip that you don't care. Some of them even have roasted pumpkin in them.
Yes, correct.
And a bit of feta maybe.
Oh.
And you put that up upon your cracker. And you're able to lord it over all of the traditional dip people.
Yep.
So anyone that's got, say, a hummus or a creamy bacon and cheese or something, you lord it over them because chunky dips are way better. First in history of dips, and this is just a little history lesson for you, came like your hummuses and stuff like that, all the smooth dips.
They're lovely.
somebody cracked the case and cracked it and worked out that if you put chunks in, it's actually better.
Okay, here's my, I guess, rebuttal to that. Because with smooth dips, right, what do you usually have with your dip, Crevo? Like, what's your little spoon of choice? Is it a Dorito?
Sometimes.
Or a Jats or something?
I don't mind a Jats or perhaps, a dried lavash or something along those lines.
Very nice. Now, what type of texture would you say those are?
I would say that those are crisp.
Crisp and crunchy?
Yes.
Okay, so here's my debate. You can't have a crunchiness upon a crunchiness, okay? You've got to level out the playing field. You've got to dip your crunchy cracker into a smooth dip and a smooth layering, right?
Are you saying
like your corn relish dips and your Philly chili willy dillies or something?
Are you saying it's too much crunch for your munch?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. You don't want to have nuts and like crunchy bits on top of your lavish and your wafer crackers and your Doritos. You want a smooth, creamy dip.
I'm saying there's never too much crunch for your munch. It's my belief that if you're already having a bit of crunch in your chip, why not add a bit more?
Because it doesn't work. It's too much
going on. It's like having a lovely ice cream with some topping. It makes it better. Yes, it is sweet on sweet, but it makes it better.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to call myself out here. Now, sometimes I don't have creamy dips, so you know what I'll do? If I'm at home.
Not what I've heard.
Hang on.
Yes.
I'll get a packet of Doritos and I'll get like a teacup. And I'll pour in some thickened cream and just
dip it directly in cream.
Into cream.
That is a very odd snack.
You need
to
have
like a chat for another day.
You need to have creaminess on the crunch. I'm telling you.
All right. Well, this you can hear what the debate is.
Life is balance.
Which is the better style of dip? Is it crunchy? The ones with bits in them, the new and improved, the premium, the more expensive for a reason,
ew.
Red Rock Deli style. With all of the bits of pine nut and all those lovely premium ingredients.
But they use too much oil as well.
Or is it the smoothed out, made for children...
Creme.
Very creamy dips that Ari prefers. 4967-4105. If you just join in this debate,
yep.
Bring your arguments as to why. Producer Mark will get you to weigh in first as a high contributing team member. What are your thoughts on this?
Look, I love both of them, but if I had to choose...
And you do.
I'm going smooth.
Yeah!
I'm going smooth. What? But basically, and I agree with Ari, it's the smooth on top of the crunch already. If you got too much crunch and bits, it kind of...
Feels like you're eating nails.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right,
he's
one
a smart
to team,
man,
Ari.
Producer, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Josh, how you doing this morning?
All right, you guys, yourself?
Very good.
Excellent.
Did you eat any dip on the weekend?
No, I did not.
Okay, if you were to choose one, what would you choose?
Well, I'd rather have the Ritz biscuits for the smooth and the Doritos for the chunky.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
Mostly sunny today, tops of 25. You're waking up with the Novos here at UFM. And we're so excited about the phenomenon that is The 100.
Oh, this is my favourite show on television.
It's so awesome to watch. And it's just so funny. It's quirky. It's got you learn a lot along the way as well.
Yeah, that's it.
And, of course, one of the stars, Mike Goldstein, he's here. The 100. The new season's kicked off. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. How are you?
Better having you on the phone.
Oh, Mike, I hear you're quite busy at the moment. You're down at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yeah, so the comedy festival's in full swing, and we got the 100 kicking off. It's all happening.
Yeah, it's so good. You spent a bit of time at the Australian Open this year. Which of the tennis players were the most fun to hang out with, / would you like to hang out with more?
I love John McEnroe. If I end up being, you know, just an old, funny, grumpy man like him, it would be fantastic. Kyrgios came in a good mood, and he was actually great value. He loved it, and it was, yeah, good hanging out with him. And I think he was pretty hungover, but you know, so was I. So that was fine.
So you guys were a match made in heaven in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And then Novak Djokovic was quite personable, and I think he was trying to fix Australia's how they think about him. So he was as charming as you can get.
He
so,
was on the charm offensive, you reckon?
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
And then I think he gave everyone COVID as well. No.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's what he's famous for.
COVID is still a thing, I don't know.
Well, he hates vaccines, so maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Who's testing these days anyway, right?
Mike Goldstein.
Exactly.
So, Mike, okay, back to the show, The 100. What is it like being on that show? It's funny. I mean, of course, you bring your own comedy gold to it as well.
So good. Like, you know, just learning stats about Australians every season, like new things pop out that just catch me off guard. And working with Sophie Monk is amazing. You know, 7 series in, and we're in a new time slot at 7:30 p.m. So they've asked us to be family friendly. And for Sophie, you know, curbing her Gold Coast tendencies, it's been interesting.
Well, I was going to ask you which co-host is your favorite to work with, but I think it might be Sophie.
We figured that out.
I love it.
People still give you a bit of shtick about being American.
Oh, yeah.
But when you've come over, you've been here so long, what parts of your Americanness do you feel like you've retained?
Well, I have a gun on me at all times.
Well, hey, you know what? That is your right in America. Not so sure about here.
Yeah.
Well, you feel well protected then when you're hanging around Mike.
Yeah.
Or nervous. I'm not sure. Your flavor. Choose your flavor.
Oh, yeah. God. Is there anything interesting that you find is, I guess, the most bizarre thing about Aussies having been here for such a...
Is there something that still shocks you?
Yeah.
Well, I think it comes out on the show. Like, one of the stats, what percentage of Australians have a secret second family? And that percentage was higher than anyone would have guessed. Like, I'll let you watch the show to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, who has the money to support a second family these days?
Well, in this economy, I mean...
Yeah, exactly. You need Andy Lee-level money to be able to do that.
Well, yeah, that's right. And if you've got that, well, maybe we should be asking him with the stats.
Ooh. Where did that guy come from? Yeah,
exactly. Well, I mean, he's probably the only one who can afford it. But yeah, that is a shocking one. And there's so many shocking things and / interesting and juicy that come out of the show, which I think is the charm of it, right?
So finding out new things every season. And then I think the stats keep getting better and better. So tune in.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your American wisdom with us. Please keep your gun in it safe and keep up the good work. Mike Goldstein, it's been an absolute pleasure, and we look forward to enjoying this new season along with you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're waking up with the Novos live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local ads. And on the air now.
So, Sunday morning, I got up pretty early because tricked by daylight savings.
Oh, I know.
And baby Esme doesn't care for watches, so she wakes up when she wakes up.
Of course she does.
So, let's go to the farmer's market, right?
Okay.
Which we've done the last few weeks. It was really nice to get a bit of brekkie. We'll drive down there. Ooh, parking's easy. It's been moved or it's sometimes I have it a different spot because there's some event on. I was like, oh, I'm not driving to another place now.
Oh, of course you wouldn't.
So we went to Elma's Cafe, which is near my shop, basically, on Clyde Street.
Okay,
in the old Lampworks there.
Mm-hmm.
I had this, like, mezze plate, which is sort of Middle Eastern food with falafel and stuff.
Yum.
Boy, she was good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Homemade, like, tum and beetroot dip and everything.
Ooh-wee.
It was very nice.
You're living fancy for a Sunday.
Well, sometimes you got to treat yourself. And I thought, I'm going straight to work after this. Yep. I can have a nice breakfast.
Yeah, of course.
And I did. It was it's so nice in there. So if you're looking for a cheeky weekend breakfast, or I'm sure they're open other days.
Obviously they would be.
Yeah.
But like, wouldn't very you feel like nice. Some eggs or something?
Oh,
if I'm going out for breakfast,
you want eggs.
Eggs Benny.
Yeah.
Give me that.
Well, fair enough. I don't know. I just wanted something different. It was great. Just sometimes you don't need to have the traditional, you know, eggs or pancakes or whatever. Mm. And boy, it paid off. Treat. An absolute treat.
UFM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
Incredible injuries came out of this weekend's game from the Knights versus the Bulldogs. If you did catch it or if you didn't, you may have seen a photo or two pop up on your socials.
Yeah.
So one of our Knights players actually, our winger James Schiller, actually failed a Category 1, like, head inspection basically, following a nasty head clash with a Bulldogs player in just the second tackle of the game. If you... seen any photos, it shows James actually being escorted off the pitch, the poor thing, because on his right ear, he's just absolutely bleeding out. Like, it's all running down his neck. He looks like he's in pain, and fair enough.
He looks like he's been painted up for Halloween.
He does, actually. Like, it's, he's meant to be in a horror movie.
It looks very sore.
It's graphic, and he's, going to be feeling a lot of pain for a while.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, cartilage upon the face... is easily injured and hurts a lot and bleeds a lot.
It really does.
It's nose and ears.
Yeah, have you ever had a nosebleed? I have.
Oh, they can
terrifying.
Be awful. Ears, though, can be easily gotten, if you will.
Battered.
A friend of mine got a new puppy and it was quite a boisterous, like, cattle dog cross or something like that.
Oh, wow.
High energy. Anyway, she's playing around with it. It jumped up and took her earring out. pulled it straight out.
Oh.
The puppy doesn't know any better. It's, you know, she, of course, was in a lot of pain, blood going everywhere.
Damn.
Ears can be a big one.
Gosh, I've got some examples too, actually. Both. One, my ear was attacked by a magpie during spring.
Really?
Yeah, I was attacked on one of my many attacks. They got my ear and I started bleeding everywhere.
They bleed so much, ears and noses. There's
and
something
then,
about it.
What about sports injuries, though, like similar to James here? Playing soccer, I got hit smack bang in the middle of the nose with a football.
Ooh.
Blood gushing.
Of course it was. It's like I said, it's those cartilagey bits upon the face.
Yeah, they're delicate.
They certainly are. Now, if you've got an ear or nose injury story...
we'll take any.
Yeah, that's right. We'd love to hear yours. 4967-4105. Just for contributing, you can trade in your pain or someone you know.
Mm.
Could be your friend, family, whatever. All right, in Port Stephens, Amanda, first of all, how is it out there this morning?
Beautiful and sunny as usual.
Of course
Excellent.
It is. You live in a nice part of the world. Now tell us your ear or nose injury story.
It was my nose.
Mm-hmm.
I was a teenager and Mum was perming my hair. After she took the rollers out, she told me to throw my head under the tap in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And being smart, I flung my head back, hit the sink, and went forward and smashed into the side of the bathtub. Breaking my nose and blackening two eyes.
Oh my god. That's intense.
So what happened there after that, Amanda? Did you have to, like, go to hospital, obviously, or?
She rinsed my hair out first.
That's
priorities.
The most important bit is the hair,
yeah.
Yeah, she rinsed my hair out first and then took me, yeah.
Wow.
God bless you, Amanda. God. That would have been actually terrifying and very painful.
Certainly would have. All right, let's go to Chisholm next. Mm-hmm. Hey, Nadine, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. What's your story?
Well, I ended up one night being woken up in the middle of the middle of the night as a cockroach crawled into my ear.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, keep going.
And did you catch it and eat it?
Well, I obviously being woken up is what's happening what's crawling into my ear. I shoved my finger in there and pushed it in further. It was then deciding to scratch and fly around, trying to dig its way out, but it went further into my eardrum.
Yeah.
So I ended up calling, you know, Triple O, but there was no ambulances available. Ended up bundling the kids into the car and driving myself to emergency.
And it's like tickling around in there, like keeps still moving.
Still scratching away my ears. I sat in the waiting room at emergency for ages because it was a night. They put some stuff in my ear to drown the cockroach, but it was still in there.
Oh, my God. And then what, did he just keep it in there forever?
Well, it felt like it because I ended up getting sent home from emergency to the
Yeah.
I went to my GP the next morning for them to try and get it out.
Holy dooly.
In the process of cleaning it out, and you know, a lot burst that damaged my eardrum.
Oh.
But it's not good anymore. I ended up 3 days later at a ear, nose, and throat specialist, and he ended up getting the remnants of his cockroach out of my ear.
Wow, what a story.
I feel sick. I feel physically sick, you poor woman.
I weirdly feel good about the whole thing because it wasn't
me. Never happened to you. That's exactly right. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay, Katara South. Sarah, good morning. What's your story?
Hello. Well, I was once playing grass hockey back in high school, and one of the girls, the ball got hit to her, and the balls ricocheted off her shin pad and smashed straight upwards into her nose and broke it.
Oh,
I have never seen so much blood in my life.
That's horrendous.
It was terrible.
And listen to the giggle coming out of Sarah's mouth. You loved it, didn't you?
She deserved it.
She did. Can't stop laughing.
Okay, let's
still laughing about the situation.
Yeah, she's sitting there going, yeah, it was a good day for me. Let's wrap it up in Tyres Hill. Good morning, Dee. How'd you hurt your nose or your ear?
Hey guys, good morning. How are you going?
Great.
I actually was about 9 or 10 and we were at home and I had folded out one of those old school banana chairs, you know, the ones with the metal and then like all the materials woven together.
I know the ones,
And mum and dad were hanging around us in the yard and I sat on it and the end of it flew up and the piece of metal part hit me across the nose. everyone was laughing but my had blood pouring out everywhere, broke my nose. Never want to sit on a banana chair ever again. Have never sat on another one.
I blame you. Dangerous.
So it was pretty traumatic. But I did have to get surgery, not at the time, but later on because I couldn't breathe out of one side of my nose properly.
Was it a good nose job though?
Yeah.
All's well that ends well.
Yeah, that's one way to get some plastic surgery happening, isn't
cheeky
it?
Cheeky bit of cosmetic surgery. Oh, I can't breathe well anymore. A banana chair got me. That's the excuse you can use.
Yeah, now give me an episode on botch.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of great stories.
Jeez, who do we give the tickets to go and see the mega creatures at Hunter Valley Gardens?
You know what? I think what we should do, and it just makes me feel so sick just thinking about the story, but Nadine in Chisholm with a cockroach in her ear, I think she takes cake.
Well, in a great sweep of irony, she can now go see giant cockroaches at Hunter Valley Gardens.
Let's hope to God there is no giant
spiders,
cockroaches.
Spiders,
she'll be right.
Creepy crawlies, she'll be fine with that. Congratulations, Nadine. A family pass to go see mega creatures at Hunter Valley Gardens. I don't know if she'll be brave enough to go to do the night safari, but maybe by day more reasonable.
She can take her kids, they'll protect her.
There we go. Have a great day, everyone, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
I'll see you then.
That was the Novos. You want more, right? Sure. Just head to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or newfm.com.au, and you can relive all the fun again and again and again.